Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cool Zone Media.
How could we possibly talk about any sort of election if we're not talking about white evangelical? We gotta talk about it. In this episode of Terraforming, we're going to address the white evangelical. Now, I'm giving these qualifiers to what type of Christian we're talking about for a number of reasons. One, because, you know, your boy, whether you notice or not, your boy knows the Bible. In addition to being, you know, a hip hop artist and poet and being formally trained in like social sciences, your boy has theological training. And the truth is, like, if it comes to the scriptures, comes to the Bible, and I mean, you don't want the smoke. Your boy knows what he's talking about. Now, in a universe where gravity and the other laws of physics that rule the universe, in a world where those still apply, the advent of a Donald Trump would have been unthinkable, anathema for all my Bible nerds. He's a Nebuchadnezzar character, again, a Nero, like just a Nimrod. Like, he's these characters that are these archetypes that are in scripture that, if you twist your arm hard enough, if you twist your theology hard enough, then you could say that, like, he is this rod of correction, this godless rod of correction that God has sent to correct the society. A man who doesn't have the moral standards and does not hold to the same things you hold, that God is using to correct the wrongs of society. Like, if you twist your theology well enough, you could get there. But here's the thing about theology. Christian world is like any other fandom. And I hope that doesn't sound reductive. It's like any other fandom in the sense that there are hardliners and liberals. There are people that only have a surface understanding. There's actual experts, quite a diversity of thought, ways that those are practiced. You have your orthodoxy, which is like what we believe. And then your orthopraxy, which is what we practice, like correcting your practice. Theologically speaking, you want both of those to meet in a way that is consistent, aligned to the tenets of the faith that we say we hold to, consistently godly. But yeah, if gravity worked the way we thought it would, especially with somebody like a conservative evangelical who presents themselves as the moral compass of the world, like, how you can put a man in power who's been married three times, all his kids got different mamas, well, three different mamas, and cheated on all of them, one of which is with the porn star, just who has done incredibly shady business. Like, I just don't, one would think that that would not fly with this group of people. And those same people to consider a man who has been married once to the same woman and all his children got the same mama and daddy, and there's no scandals and no infidelity and no stories about his personal dealings has ever surfaced, how he's the Antichrist. I don't know, man, gravity just doesn't work the way it used to, but that's not what I'm trying to get at here. What I'm trying to get at here is there are what we call essentials and non-essentials and things that we just can disagree on. But at the end of the day, we're all in the same house. But then there are things that has been decided that this is a line in the sand. If you believe this thing, then you're out. That would essentially mean that you're not a Christian because you can't, this is a do not pass go issue. The issue is the people that have decided that what those lines are basically self-appointed. Like nobody agreed that y'all would be the arbiters of what is actually sound biblical doctrine, as they would say. You self-selected that. And I'm saying this from the inside of the room, not the outside. And like pretty much everything else in the world, the people that did that were the white boys. The white boys decided. The who have followed the church history through the gospel going north up into Europe rather than going south, which is where it went first. It went southeast rather than northwest first. I'm talking about leaving Judea, leaving the areas of Israel and Palestine where he was from. As a fun aside, you know, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. You know where Bethlehem is? It's in the West Bank. It's in Palestine. So there's that. And the issue with these white boys is kind of like, of course, I'm using this in a remarkably broad sense because it's a very specific white boy that decided they are the arbiters of truth. It's not all of them. Okay, so geez, just stay with me. Just like I know every black people don't gangbang. I understand what we're talking about. But follow me here as a cultural trend. The white evangelical has decided they are the keepers of the flame. Now, what's even crazier is if you want to get more into the weeds, it's really the white American Calvinist. And if you really want to get wonky, Calvinists aren't actually evangelical. And they don't even agree because you have Baptist Calvinists. But anyway, we're getting in the weeds here. Just like if we were to get into like a DC and Marvel argument, we would be in the weeds in a way that like would make your eyes go blurry. But they've decided that they're the arbiters too. But the thing is, like, if you understand the trajectory of Christian thought, what is considered orthodox or correct has changed over time and has continued to change. It even changes within the Bible. People realizing that, like, hey, maybe they didn't understand what they believed well enough, or culture has changed, or science has changed, and like knowledge has changed. And now it's like the idea of like, well, we have better tools. Our academia is better. There's better tools. There's better ways to translate this ancient Aramaic, perish the thought, but actually speaking to people from the region that would possibly tell you that they don't have to be Christian or Jewish. They could just tell you like, yeah, that's not what that word means. My mama says it all the time. It means this. We now know more about context, history, archaeology, anthropology. We just know more to realize that, yeah, these dudes that were interpreting the Bible in the 1500s were reading from a Latin translation, you know what I'm saying? Which was not even what it was written in the first place. Those like realizing that like, yeah, like they just made mistakes and it's an honest mistake. And now that we've made this honest mistake, like we got to change the way we think about these things. Like that's happening and has continued to happen all the time. But if you've decided that you're the guys who gets to decide what is right and wrong, then everybody else is wrong. Like what? Prop, give an example. Well, 6-day creation, 7-day rest, and then the earth being 6,000 years old. Bible nerds now have been trying to say forever that like, y'all reading this all wrong. That's not even what it says or even what it's trying to say. You're missing the point. This isn't surveillance camera footage where you watch the world being made. No, it's not the point. It's a theological statement about purpose and order. That's what create means. But anyway, and the Bible nerds are trying to tell you it's not. Wings of change move very slowly. Now, having said all that, know that the white evangelical only represents 11% of the full Christian world. My Lord, we haven't even talked about the Spanish-speaking Catholic world. Like, you're barely anybody. The problem is they just have the microphone. And what comes with the microphone is power. A power that was brokered a lot, at least in America, you could argue all the way back to like Phyllis Schlafly and the religious right and John Birch Society and all them weirdos. But ultimately, it's a power move to preserve a way of life that essentially upheld white supremacy. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. Masquerading as family values. And there have been people inside the church that have been ringing the alarm forever that, maybe one day I'll bring those people around, like my man Jamar Tisby or my boy Sho Baraka, the homegirl Sandra. I always say her name wrong because She's actually Puerto Rican, but she married his wife. Boy, I always forget her how to say her last name. Obstaval. Anyway, she's got this thing called Chasing Justice. Like, it's people outside really trying to, like, correct the ship. But either way, this is the world we live in. And inside of that, a lot of people, including myself. Now, I didn't grow up as a white evangelical, obviously, but I come from the wing of the church that has, in a lot of ways, been the conscience of America. Like, who actually has forced America to come to task, stand on business, and keep their promises and correct the wrongs that they've done. And time and again, it's been the Black church. Abolitionists, civil rights movement, like, it, as far as the church is concerned, it's been us that's been like, nah, fam. Now, it is not without its own problems, of course, but point being, there has been issues in our justice and liberation that have not been tenable. And it's been us that's been like standing. But anyway, I'm off topic. Inside of that are truly loving humans who just happen to go to these churches and grow up in these spaces that, from all you know, are just making you a decent human being. And then there are situations that make that untenable. Sometimes it's around your sexuality. Sometimes it's around, again, your skin color. Sometimes it's around the treatment of others and of immigrants. And sometimes it's around politics. And you find yourself in a situation where this spiritual belief and practice has served you well. And like, you truly believe, you know, Jesus is Lord and died for your sins. Like, you are, or something somewhere close to that. You understand that, like, loving God and neighbor is like still the goal that I got. Like, I want to be like Jesus. But this context, culture, and direction has made your life, made it untenable. I can't stay here. I can't, in good conscience, even if I'm trying to be like the Jesus I say I profess, that means I can't keep rocking with y'all. What do you do then? Who are the people that still want to hold on to the tenets of their faith, but are just like, I cannot fuck with the rest of this. The math isn't math. It's impossible. Allow me to introduce you to Kevin Garcia, and I'm gonna let him tell you more about himself.
Test, all right. 1, 2, yep.
You up in there. Now, I have done an extensive intro already.
Great.
For the pod people cool. You will hear when this actually airs. Nice. Or I could play it before you. But anyway, it's basically what I texted you already, where I'm like, all right, listen, this is about to be a nightmare year. as far as the public discourse, maybe our personal lives might be amazing. You upset, but
that's what I'm gaming for,
right?
That's what I want.
yes, that's the goal. But I do a show, as you know, called Hood Politics with Prop, where essentially the idea is these politicians, political pundits, whatever's happening in the world, these people are not smarter than you. They just use another language. Right.
Correct.
And I am pretty sure your experiences growing up where you grew up actually equipped you more than you think you do to understand what's going on in the world. Right.
Big time.
So normally what I try to do is I try to stay ahead. I try not to get more than 4 episodes ahead in the can because of how fast things happen. Right. This year, I'm like 8 weeks ahead because so much happens, right?
So much is happening. There's so much to cover and there's like, it's all necessary.
It's all
like,
necessary. You can't skip anything.
It's like all hands on deck education so that we can like, and not even like fully education, but just like equipping people.
Exactly. Yeah. Think this through.
What's necessary to not totally slip into fascism.
Absolutely. There's this like, amazing silver medal second place run happening on the Republican side where y'all just so fighting for a consolation prize for some reason.
It's so wild to watch.
Yeah. And you're about to lose to someone
who didn't even show up,
who ain't come to none of this shit and has 91 cases. And who go put it, which is why you're here. Part of why you're here. And who is probably going to put him in office is a voter block who looked at a man 10 years ago who was the husband of one wife, who had no scandals, who raised his children in ways that are moral and have...
And typical, you know, like very, typical, very...
Kept like, them out of the spotlight, who have...
Perfect.
Perfect children, and chose the guy with three baby mamas who cheated on all of them mamas with adult porn stars, paid them off, cheated on everything, and used to be a Democrat.
Assaulted a woman, lied about it,
and
discriminated against black people for housing in the 20th century, like in the 80s and 90s, like not even in the 70s.
But the black dude's the Antichrist. Got it. So
100%, a sign of the Antichrist, and this is the tribulation. Any day now, we are going to be raptured up.
So the church folk chose that dude. Which is a thing. While at the same time, it's wars breaking out all over the country, all over the world, that we somehow are funding.
With what money? That's the other thing I want to know.
Where y'all fighting this?
It's like we cannot forgive your student loan debts. We cannot help you with your
really
medical bills.
We just really need the money.
We really need to go bomb these kids. Have to.
And none of these wars are any of our business on top of that, right? So just all of this happens and here we are. And then I haven't even got to cover the gift that 2023 ended us with of George Santos. Like, I haven't even got to get that one out.
Oh my God, if we can even touch on that crazy, silly moment.
Dude, it was like.
Please tell me you watched the Z-Way interview with him.
Of course I did. I was like, I must think for the gays, it has to feel like he's like a Colin Powell character that we thought of for black people, to where you're like, God damn it, you get a black man in position to really affect change. You're super proud of what he did, and then you do this shit. And you're just like,
but not that like that.
Not that one.
Like, it's really like a case of like, how did it happen? Like, and I look at George Santos and I'm just like, it's one of these like really interesting things. If you look at it from like, this is the problem.
Yeah.
Politics has become entertainment.
Yes, absolutely.
And spectacle.
Absolutely.
And so this is also part of the problem that I can look at this and think, you know, some gays would say, oh my God, that's iconic gay behavior or something like that. And of course it's in jest because it's actually quite horrifying that this man who lied about top everything and then got removed is still trying to stand 10 toes down on what he did.
And he's still standing on business. Like that, and you respect it, but
it's like as a grift, you know, I mean like scammer's gonna scam. Dog. So like you did as far as you can, but just like you're still no Donald J. Trump, unfortunately.
Come on, fam, you still JV. Yeah. Oh man,
the grift of it all. And I think the thing, like, I watched the Iowa caucus. So if that puts us in a timeline for anyone listening, that just happened this past Tuesday. And seeing how the numbers have jumped up, almost doubled on every category of people who were supporting him back in 2016.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, we thought, like, oh, yeah, like, we're finally getting, you know, I was, like, part of, like, the crew was, like, okay, so, like, not my first choice for president, but we got to do it. We got to do it. Like, I was also, like, we were, like, going hard for Stacey Abrams here in Georgia.
Yeah,
and
totally.
That was, like, the heartbreak of heartbreaks.
Dog.
But, like, we were just, like, this was supposed to be our years.
Yeah, right.
And... jokes and like
all
it's one it's, I feel like even those of us who like we're all like hardcore Obama campaigners too, like you know, we look back on it now, we see, you know, how many bombs he dropped on different places, and we never heard about it, talked about it, because we just didn't know what we didn't know.
Yeah.
And now it's almost just like, you know, to quote the Nat Bishop herself, Trisha Hersey, we have been bamboozled.
Yes, facts. And like in, you know, my partner's obviously Latina, and her thing was like, in the Latino community, they were like, we was proud, but you know, he was the deporter in chief. Like, he deported more people. He deported more people than any president before him, you know? It's just this, he was just nice about it, you know? Yeah. And that's, it just sucks, man. So I wanted to, every month this year, bring in people actually putting good in the world. So while we're talking about all this stuff, me like, you feel me?
Dooms.
Yeah, like all the doom that, and there is enough of. There are people out there telling better stories, creating better narratives, even in spaces that one would think are irredeemable. And that's where Kevin Garcia comes in.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So my first, I saw your merch before I saw you, and I was like, oh, hell yeah. So your merch says bad theology kills. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, this is so, and why it's so brilliant to me is because the angry Calvinists would buy your shirt not knowing, you know what I'm saying? That like, because yes, they say the same
shit.
To
fool.
You know what
I'm
saying?
The Calvinists.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They would say the same thing. You feel me? And then the rolling on the ground, talking in tongue Pentecostal would buy your shirt. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Not knowing, you know what I'm saying, what's really going on here. And right. You sit in this amazing intersection. What I said in the interview was like, there are people who have felt as though there were things about their Christian, and I'm saying like international, mm-hmm. not just like Western sure. evangelical, like Christian upbringing or base that really still resonates with them. Mm-hmm. But staying there was untenable. Was just,
correct.
I can't stay in this culture. There are things, like you said, that the alternative is taking my own life or someone taking it yeah. from me.
The alternative right? is death.
Death, right? Where do I go? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I did a deep dive and I was like, this dude's a G. Like, who, like,
I Kev have some different. Ideas about this.
Yeah. Kev's different, right? So now I'm going to let you speak for yourself. I did all that. Sure. So,
I mean, you've juiced up my ego in a nice way, especially because I was feeling like shit today. So this is great. Tell you,
man. look. Nah, you a terraformer, man. You building a bigger world here. Damn. So, Kev, all right, start us off. The background to what we're doing now. In 2 minutes. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No. I can do like the elevator pitch because, we've all, who can't?
Exactly.
If you've been talking on stage as long as we have.
Yes.
So, hi, my name is Kevin Miguel Garcia. Pronouns, they, them. Although, like, I like they, he, and she. Just like, depends on how I'm looking right
yeah, yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Looking like a dude.
Yeah.
But I also like to tell people, I'm just like, if you can lean towards they, them, I would prefer it.
Work.
I am the author of 2 books. Bad Theology Kills was the first one. And subtitle, Undoing Toxic Belief and Reclaiming Your Spiritual Authority. Bang. Wherein I wrote that book to kind of like help with the first half of my life of asking the question, like, why do I believe what I do? Because I grew up in a good Christian home. My mama mm-hmm. was the worship leader. My uncle was the pastor. I got baptized at age 9 because mm-hmm. I felt the Holy Ghost.
Because you're supposed to. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
We're God's moving. You know, yeah.
Yeah. And I really do think from that moment on, I had this connection to the divine, to the Christ.
Yeah.
And that was one thing I never questioned, which is very mm-hmm. funny. Even now, as I say, yeah. like, I don't even know if I'm a Christian. Like,
yeah.
But we'll get to that in a second. I realized I was queer in high school. My dad outed me to my mom. And then I was in ex-gay ministry with Exodus International, if you ever heard of them.
Sheesh, I have.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
But I was in that world for like 12 years mm-hmm. Of my own volition because like they promised hope for change. And then when they shuttered their doors and said, we've made a grave mistake in the yeah. most literal sense of the word.
Yeah.
I started questioning things, but I still kind of held on to a traditional belief for years. Fell from one Pentecostal cult into like a missionary cult and like did missionary work for a while.
Yeah.
And then when I came out in that space, they were like, even though like, I'm not going to lie, I go back to the Sutra, I have my old journals from that time.
Uh-huh.
I was such a self-righteous ass.
Dude.
I was zealous and I was trying to be, I was the best Christian. Like
yeah.
if we're looking at the points,
yes,
I won.
Yeah.
And I was so mad because nobody else was as serious as I was. I'm just like, damn, like, damn.
Well,
damn.
I'm putting in the work, y'all.
Yeah.
I got the grace of the cross, but I need less of the grace. Cause
I don't need grace. I need jewels in my crown,
yes.
bitch.
Yes.
That's what I want.
Yes.
And so when I got kicked out of that world, best thing that could have happened to me, and I kind of started carving out a life for myself in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
I was big into, like, I used to be somebody who was, like, considered myself a reformer
mm-hmm.
and wanted to be somebody who actively organized within non-affirming spaces to bring about affirmation. But
yeah.
then I realized that doesn't fucking work.
Yeah. So for y'all who there is the vast majority of these listeners have no idea what any of these terms mean. What they mean is the idea is that within the Christian tradition, especially in the States, because Europe is different.
Mm-hmm.
They They've had this conversation decades ago.
Ages ago.
Yes. There is this space where there are churches who have gotten to a place to where they're completely accepting of the queer community. And the term for that is affirming. We are gay affirming. Like, I go to a church like this, that where are we got lesbian, you know, pastors and this, it's queer, it's trans, whatever, right? And then there are other places that they would call gay welcoming, which is like, you could be here, just don't tell nobody. Like, just don't.
Welcoming, don't, but not affirming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, don't welcome me. And most of the time, that's where the black church is. Where in general, it's like, we all know the choir director's gay. Like, everyone knows this, you know, and we just don't talk about it. You know, you just.
We know those two aunties are not. Roommates.
Those two aunties, yes, they are not best friends. She's not bringing her best friend. That's her boo. Like, we know it. You know, you just don't talk about it. And and then there are the vast majority that are like, y'all going to hell. Like, you
And
you
then can, just outright rejecting.
Yes. Like, yeah. You can be here. There's, and a lot of times it's like, it's real weird because, like, you could be here. We think you're talented, you're gifted, you're an amazing singer. Just, you just can't be officially in leadership. Yeah. Or you can't talk about it.
It's either don't ask, don't tell, and you can fully participate.
Yeah.
Or you do tell and you limit your participation in this space forever.
It's but like, we love you. But we love you.
But we love you, but we're going to continue to do the thing that hurts you. And that, my friend, is called an abusive relationship.
That's an abusive relationship. Hello. Yeah. So that's what you felt like was your mission for a while. Yeah. Is to go,
I was like, this, because it was always missional, always very dedicated to, like, the institution of the church.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I, as my person just began to expand, you know, it was, you know, as I read texts from other faiths, as I, you know, started like my yogic practices and actually leaning into yoga, not just as like a floor exercise that people do and like make you look sexy after you, you know, stole it from everybody else in India, but like as an actual spiritual path and a way of orienting yourself to the world, it changed my life. And after, like, as I'm going into my yogic practices, it like sent me like still like, I have a weird devotion to Jesus as my teacher and my friend and my brother.
Yeah.
And that led me to begin showing other people how to cultivate spiritual practices for themselves that felt good, that helped process some of the trauma that you've been carrying in your body for too long, and ask the question, okay, so like, who is God to me now? And how am I going to connect to that thing? Whether I call it source or love, the universe, or maybe I still call it like, you know, I call Jesus as part of that. It doesn't really matter to me.
Yeah.
It matters that you connect with it, because what I'm aware of and what I truly believe is now more than ever, it is really, really important that we keep our spiritual practices, because this shit is only going to get harder out here.
Yeah.
Speaking of all the things we talked about before.
Yeah.
And we need more people who are alive and awake and aware.
Yeah.
So that we don't lose more of what we already have. It's like, it's both like for personal liberation, but your personal liberation will help lead you to collective liberation. It's like the most delicious thing in the world. And that's what I wrote about in my second book, which is called What Makes You Bloom. And it just came out last week and I'm really proud of it.
Oh, let's go. We'll drop the link in the bio. Well, not in the bio, please. In the show notes. Yeah. I think what resonates about your story so much to me is, you know, the different sort of—
Oh my God, Tip, shut up.
Shut your dog.
Sorry. Yes, she saw a squirrel and was excited.
I love it. Tip, so real.
Come here. Come here, girl. Good. Sit.
Shout out Anderson.
Now we can continue.
All the Behind the Bastards listeners. I have these, not the same, but I have these sort of eras of the times or traditions that I existed in within within the faith too. There's my family of origin, you know, Citizens of Zion Missionary Baptist Church. You know what I'm saying? Like with you know, with my grandma and them, you know. That was like, this was our family church, right? And then there was extended family. And then there was the, like, the church my parents found. Like, I come from an inner city tradition. We weren't necessarily, like, evangelical. We were just like, y'all don't join gangs and get people pregnant. Like, that was the extent. Yeah. You know what I mean? It wasn't, we had elements of purity culture, but we really didn't have that, you know, the sort of, you know, white bread, because we weren't white people. You know what I mean? So, so we didn't have a lot of the sort of the issues that, a lot of the other, like, American churches had, you know. We were very involved in civic duties, you know, working with the poor. Like, you would ask anybody's grandma, where your grandma at on Tuesday? She's at the homeless shelter. You know, so we were already in that. I'm the child of a Black Panther, so I have histories of, you know, the civil rights movement and Malcolm X and just all this, like, longer, richer tradition of, you know, the Black church, you know, inner city church, in a lot of ways being the moral compass of America, you know? So you have, I have that in my heritage, you know? But I started reading more. Like I said, my father was, he was a street dude, but he's also very intelligent. So, like, I was aware of Muslim traditions. I was aware of, you know, African practices. I was aware of, you know, I lived in a Mexican neighborhood. So I was aware of just other cultures. And I felt like, for me, the next era for me was, like, I didn't get the academic rigor. And where it was like, this was very much about, like, liberation, but liberation only. You know what I mean? But I'm like, but I'm smart. You know, so I thought somehow or another I was smarter than my great grandma, like the holiest person I ever met. You know what I mean? Like, I thought I was smarter than her. So that's where the soiree into, like, reform theology caught me, because I was like, this is, this is, it's academic, you know? So
I can prove it.
Yes, I can prove it. So I was like, I was drinking it up, but I was drinking it up with a foundation of coming from liberation, you know? So for me, I was like, it was very easy for me to, any of the other, like, really toxic stuff, at least for my perception, to just kind of wash off me, because I didn't come from this, you know?
Right.
So I was like, I'm not swimming in these waters. I have this other foundation, right? That in so, and then you become a public figure. And then at that point, at that point, Nashville comes in the scene. And again, I'm from California, so I didn't know nothing about
nobody or how people thought people were straight shooters. They'll tell you what they're thinking.
That's what happened. I thought, you know, you walk into a building in Nashville and the, and there's a Bible verse on the wall. You're like, oh, it's dope, you know, because I'm from, like, Cali. So I'm like, oh, it's crazy. Y'all got, like, dang, that's cool.
Y'all got religion out here.
Y'all really be, you know, first question somebody ask you is like, where you go to church? And I'll be like, what? Like,
Yeah,
you know, so to me, I was like, damn, y'all really about it. And then it was like, and then facade came down quick, where I was like, oh, you motherfuckers are racist. This is it.
Yeah.
And I was like,
that was so wild. And they don't even know it.
You don't even know it. And the first thing for me was just this whole, like, I couldn't get my brain around this, like, just this love for the Puritans. And I'm like, again, I'm the child of a panther. And I'm like, are we looking at the same timeline? You talking about the slave owners? Like, we're the greatest. Like, what is you talking about? These are the,
like,
greatest.
They don't even talk about that part. They came here for religious freedom. Okay. That's what they came to America for.
Yes.
That's what I learned about the Puritans.
And I'm like,
also so they could keep their slaves and burn their witches.
And I'm like, yes,
like every good American.
They were the, like, even of their time, they were the Pharisees. I'm like, even of their time, they were the bad guys. Like, I don't understand why y'all love them so.
They really said, like, it's like no drinking, no smoking, no sex before marriage. Also, if we even suspect you of any of these things, we're going to put you in the fucking stocks.
You're going to stocks? Yes.
Like, wild.
And I'm like, you're talking about the Valley of Vision. And I'm like, okay, so you had time. So you telling me in a Gregorian era, you had time to lay in a pasture and contemplate the stars, which means that no one's growing your food, or someone else is growing your food.
and that someone else is growing your food are my ancestors. So you telling me that they had their theology right because they gave black people the gospel? I'm like, you're talking about the country, the nation that had the church 400 years before you did? Like, is that what you're trying to tell me right now?
My.
So for me, I was like, I kind of had the same thing. I was like, oh, maybe y'all don't know. So let me start telling you.
And then you start telling them and they're like, well, we don't want to be divisive.
Yes. Yes.
You know, that's the other thing is that it's this, there's a dedication to the institution in such a way. Uh-huh. Well, because like if the church crumbles or like not even the church, but just their institution, because everybody is so individual, they think that their one thing is God's mission.
Yes.
To this city and the cities of the world.
Yes.
You know, like.
City on a hill. Like, yeah.
It's like you don't really, like they don't even see themselves as part of like a greater tradition of Christianity because they think of they're only on a business model.
Yeah. And it started with Calvin. Like that's the part that bugged me out. I'm like, it starts with the Reformation or it starts with Martin Luther. I'm like, you know that that's like 1500 years later. Like, are y'all serious? Yeah. Like you did start
also
here?
Just like, it's, yeah. Like, this is the point. And also, Martin Luther, while brilliant, bound by his time because that man hated Jewish people in a big way. And nobody wants to talk about that.
Yeah, the foundation.
Nobody wants to talk about
that. Nobody wants to talk about that. He's an amazing anti-Semite.
He wrote a book called Jews and Their Lies.
He wrote that book. Your boy Jonathan Edwards was like, who was progressive for his time, was like, you know, if the Africans and the savages...
And the savages,
the Native Americans, were, if they're human, that means they're made in the image of God, which means we should give them the gospel. I'm just not sure they're human. That's your boy, Jonathan Edwards. That's your boy, Jonathan Edwards.
Just not sure yet. Humans.
That's your boy. That's your church father. So to me, I was like, oh, yeah, the cement has settled. Like,
the church is one foundation, baby.
Yes, I was like, oh, y'all, okay. And the idea, like, which I also mentioned in the intro, which you didn't hear, but you'll know now, is like, we're talking about not even 11% of the full Christian experience. Like, you're 11% and you've made yourself the police for the rest of it. Anyway, we just happen to exist. But like you, there were things about this, you know, the conquering lion of Judah, you know, Christ the victor, this liberator, this, you know, Moses character that, you know, again, for our tradition is like, we look at Exodus and we're like, that's it. Like, look, you know, we're moving from slavery to freedom. You feel me? Whether it's in our physical bodies or in our spiritual bodies, this narrative of liberation is something that it still resonates, and a liberation that's not just internal, that's not just a personal, but it is collective and it is for the world. Like, I'm like, I still find this a
very
beautiful story
to me.
Yes. I still find this a beautiful story. And then I see that story all over the world, like in other faiths, in other traditions, in other this.
Oh my God.
Like,
hello.
Yeah.
That's really it. It's
like,
the further I went into yogic studies, the more I found, I'm just like, oh, wait, I know this story.
I know this story.
Or I know this idea by another name.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that just for me, like, just, it didn't like freak me out. It made me so excited because I'm just like, that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same one talking to Bhagwan Nityananda, is the same one talking to Patanjali, is the same one talking to the prophet Muhammad, is the same one talking to etc. is the same one talking to you in your still small voice.
Yeah.
When you're really quiet and actually are listening.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh,
yeah. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And then even on top of that, and all of those peoples and traditions had to deal with their bullshit. Just yep. like we Period. Had to deal with our bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but the story still resonates. So I think you coming back around to that and then landing on this phrase, bad theology kills. Mm-hmm. Can you expand that a little more? Tell me what you mean by that.
Yes. I mean, it's very clear, I hope.
It is.
Bad theology kills, period. Yeah. And mm-hmm. to add more words to that, I feel like you boil it down, it's three words long. But what I mean by bad theology is that any thought about God that would lead someone inevitably to the conclusion that their life is not worth continuing mm-hmm. for any reason is bad. Mm. And I think it's worth questioning. At minimum, if your theology is causing people to kill themselves,
yeah,
then you should question that.
Yeah.
And so I started with like the question of queerness and yeah. being, you know, can you be gay and Christian? That yes. was the question I started out with because that's what I was when I started that journey.
Yeah.
Because the thought that homosexuality or queerness or transness was an aberration mm-hmm. or said another way, a abomination before God. Mm-hmm. You can't know unless you've walked through it, the sheer depth of shame you feel when you realize it's just not going away. And you think that this source of all love who you thought was on your side actually thinks you're disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, you learn to be disgusted with yourself, and to the point where, like, you convince yourself that it would be better for me to end my sinful body than to continue on sinning in the world or causing other people to sin. That's going to be my contribution. That's what I thought. And that is so sad.
I'm like, my eyes are watering right now, just thinking like, about it. Yeah.
That's what I thought. And those were the thoughts that nearly killed me.
Yeah.
And then when I began to like think something different, you know, a good theology, you know, like Jesus said, you're going to know a tree by its fruits. Good trees bear good fruit, bad trees bear bad fruit, and they cannot bear the opposite thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the theology that says that marriage is only between one man and one woman for forever, and it's, you know, causing someone to kill themselves, I mean, I really think you should reconsider.
Dude.
Like, and because the thing is, I say this in the book, I say it all over the place. It's just like, I know dead people. I know people who did not survive in order to tell their story. I know people from my Exodus days, so many people who just were the most faithful people in the world, and just, it became so dissonant within themselves, and they felt so bad because we can't help but love who we love.
Yeah.
Mary Oliver says, you just got to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves, and we wouldn't do that because of somebody else's thought about God and what they thought God thought, rather than going in and finding what does God think about me.
Wow.
And there was a thought that finally came up as I was like working on, you know, myself, that really allowed me to get free in a bigger way. Was like, okay, well, like I said, fuck it, even if God will not love me after this, I will love me no matter what. And that is the thought that helped me survive and allowed me to get through, because I recognized that the love that I was seeking after was not going to be found in another church or another pulpit or in another, or in a better theology, but into recognizing that I am so good. I'm so wonderful.
Yeah.
And when I believe something opposite to that, it does this, it causes me to cry because it's not true.
Yeah.
I'm so good and so worthy. And when I remember that, when I can focus on that and just hold that in my attention, the peace that passeth understanding comes upon me. And that to me is more real than anything I did in church. You know, and like it also,
God damn it,
to
Kevin,
finally come to that realization allows me to know that like none of it's wasted.
Yeah.
Oh. Sorry to go off there for a
Buddy, y'all.
But that, when I say bad theology kills, I mean
that
things that we practice that cause people to hurt themselves. And if not to physically take them lives, to live a life so small that it's painful to exist. And it does not have to be this way.
Ugh. Man. I didn't even know how to like, I don't even know how to answer that. I'm just like, dude.
Yeah.
That's
why I'm so serious about this too, is because
it's really
this
life
is
and
news
death.
To some people.
Yeah.
This is news to some people.
Yes. I thought to myself, again, as like, obviously this is not my story, but the way that it resonated with me was like, in a number of ways, there were things that I'm like, okay, if I'm coming to this tradition, this theology, and you're saying, okay, there is a, you know, we're going to do the depravity theology. Okay, there's a depravity in my soul that needs to be redeemed. I can accept that. Okay. You know.
Sure.
But I'm coming to that as myself. Like, okay, there are things about me that, for example, like, I mean, I come to the cross, if you will, as a black man. I don't leave the cross not black. Like, I'm still a black dude. You know what I mean? Very much. These are things that I can't, that the conversion salvation doesn't erase that. I'm still a black dude. Like, this is what I am, you know? And so when I would hear people speak in terms of membership in this kingdom means you have to lay everything down. And I'm like,
well, to put your identity in Christ is to truly erase who you think you are.
And I'm like, well,
everything. They're like, yeah, you know, there's no Jew or Greek, male or female. And I'm like, but are you married to a female? Like, was she still a female? I thought you said there was no male or female. And I'm like, do you hear, like, what is you saying?
And also,
like,
put that verse in context for a second.
Number one, you know what I'm saying?
I'm just like, he's not talking about the obliteration. He's talking about hierarchy.
He's talking about hierarchy. Yeah, there's so many things that have been just so abused that if someone, like you said, if someone sat down next to you and was like, that's not what that shit says at all. The 1949 thing that, like, homosexual wasn't even in a book until 1949. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And it's a bad translation. You don't know what that word says.
You've never read it because you've only read it in badly translated English.
Which was translated from Latin, which is not even what it's written in. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's all bad. Like,
oh my God, you read Aramaic? That is crazy, girl.
Yeah. You know.
Where did you learn that?
Yeah.
Public school is different.
Yeah. So I say that to say I resonated when I thought to myself about, okay, so my own sexuality. I can, when fifth grade happened and I'm changing names for the innocent because I don't know who this is, but when Kelly Johnson finally sparked a boob and I caught the side of it, I don't know what happened. I just,
something in me responded.
Something in me went bump and I was like,
hello 12, hello 13, hello love.
That is called testosterone. What you are having, you don't have to pee. This is a confusion. Normal, this is what happens. And I was like, and like every 12-year-old boy, this is incredibly inconvenient. This is very embarrassing.
Oh my God.
I wish this didn't happen.
All the time.
It did. So, so I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. It's what happened. So as I sat across from some of my closest friends who finally, as we became older, was like, oh, wait, I'm gay. It was, their experience was exactly the same. It was like, I don't know what to tell you. Bobby walked by and this happened. I don't know. It was incredibly inconvenient and very embarrassing, but triple the embarrassment that you're experiencing because it wasn't supposed to happen at all, you know?
Yeah, so I remember Robbie, ninth grade art foundations class.
Let's go.
I noticed him, but I was like, why do I keep looking? Why do I keep?
Yeah.
And I was like, this is what they're talking about. This is attraction. And I was like, shit.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
It's really, this is bad.
I can't imagine, I honestly cannot put myself living in the experience you lived in and feeling that, like,
and vice existential. Versa, like,
yeah, it's like, you can't turn it off. I can't turn it off. You know what I'm saying? I was taught to control it, but I can't turn it off. Mm-hmm. No one told me to not like this. Like, you know what I'm saying? So when I started
it was
hearing-
look and don't touch, it was just like, don't look or touch or think about
or
it.
Or even like it. You're not allowed to like this. And I'm like,
listen, if you-
the fuck, like, how did I- I, You're not it would be much more like, convenient if I didn't. Yeah. You know,
like, trust me and believe. Like,
yeah.
I think it's very funny when anybody thinks about sexuality, especially when it comes to like, as a choice, like your attractions are, phenomena in some ways.
Yeah.
Like there's not a gene to it. Like, even though like there's certain things that we can point to maybe, but there's not a definitive,
yeah,
this is why this is. And also that's not even how humanity is even defined. Like,
yeah. And that's a boring story.
Yeah.
It's be like, oh, like, it's just a gene. You're like, what?
No. I'm just like, I like to think of it as like, this is just one of the like most beautiful, like, especially in humanity, we get to experience love and meaning and just, you know, to, again, Mary Oliver, let the soft animal of our body love.
So amazing.
I think that's that's God. I think that's God expressing God's self through each and every one of us. God wanting to know what it is to be in a body and an experience like mine. God wanting to know and, you know, live the world through you. This is a very process theology kind of position that I take in this moment.
Now,
But I really do think that when I stopped seeing like, oh, like, you know, like you said, you lose your identity in Christ, right? And then anything that comes out that's outside of their prescription is an aberration or an abomination. And you got to reel it back in, you know? Don't be too gay. Don't be too anything besides this.
Yeah, because the what gets
pushed out of that machine when you're saying is our identity's in Christ, it's like, man, this identity looks more like yours. I'm like, no, it's just your culture. Like what you're saying is I want to come out and and become you. And I'm like, I'm not you. So I say
could
all that to say
be
like
you.
I can never be
my
you.
My body
don't
disallows me from being you. Fred.
I don't want to be. Yeah. But then I'm going, what really like started me down this like evolution of being like, oh no, I'm on Kev's side is you start hearing when I hear anything, I go, when someone says a statement, whether it's a law, a policy or whatever, my first thought is, how is this going to affect the oppressed? How do you talk to, how does this affect my own, how does it affect Black people? And how has this affect Black people forever, right? So if I hear someone talking about whatever they're talking about, and it reminds me of how you talked about Black people, then I'm like, oh, this is wrong. So so for me, it was like, well, we love we love the trans, we love the queer. It's just, I don't want them around our children. You know, or don't make me, don't shove it down. You know, as long as they stay over there, I was like, huh, it's interesting. So you, know what I'm saying? So you don't want your children to be friends. Wow. Okay. Like, so you don't think, so you think that them asking for just equal protection under the Constitution is somehow an affront to your freedoms? I remember that.
Yeah.
It's I remember that.
Like,
yeah.
Like the thing that comes to mind right now, especially, is just like the fight for trans children having access to what they need. When really there's like, well, parents' rights. I'm just like, there's nothing more parents' rights centric than allowing a doctor and a parent and their child to make a decision for themselves.
Yeah, like, I don't understand. I thought that's what you wanted.
I thought that's what you wanted. Not to mention that gender affirming care, it doesn't just extends beyond trans kids. Like, children have been, you know, children with vaginas and reproductive systems. Girls are starting their periods sooner and sooner because who knows the hell why. And some as early as third grade. And so in order to stop that from happening, they introduce puberty blockers until they hit, you know, an appropriate
age. Totally.
And that's not, that allows them to be a child. That allows them to really be who they are rather than having to grow up more quickly. And cis girls are a higher recipient of puberty blockers than anybody else. Women who start menopause early, my mother, for example, has been on hormone replacement therapy since she was 30 when she got menopause super early. So I'm just like you thinking about like a gender affirming care, it's not just about trans folks who, you know, need to get surgeries, although that is part of it. But it's saving children's lives. It's saving cis people's lives.
I mean, remember how you wanted us to stay out of your personal choices and for you to not wear a mask?
I know. Where did when did that happen?
Yeah.
Where did that
How about you stay out of my family's business?
Why,
when
why
I'm
we stay out of
my
each
daughter?
Other's business? Why don't we get the government out of our business? Like,
I thought you wanted the government out of our business. Now you want the government in our business? I'm confused. Anyway, I want to try to like land this plane here with some of the beauty that you're doing. So I know you do these, are they counseling sessions? Are they?
So
what are they? Like tell them about the, and some, if you can, some like beautiful, like success stories, if you will. People reclaiming their spirituality.
So, what I started doing a couple of years ago, I've been calling them spiritual recovery cohorts. And it's basically what it sounds like. Do you want to recover your spirituality after you've lost it, after you've burnt your faith to the ground and like deconstructed into oblivion? Because I really, again, like it's possible to feel connected to God, to love, to your truest self. And you can like, it doesn't take that much. It takes a little bit of intention and willingness. And so over the, you know, the class I'm teaching right now that begins on March 5th, by the way. So if it's not by March 5th, come hang out with us.
It'll be out by then.
But what I teach is basically like, here's how we meditate. Here's how we get quiet. And also when the thoughts come into our mind, this is how we deal with, this is how we work with them. When our big feelings start coming up, this is how we work with them. When our inner child needs attention, this is how we love them. when our body is feeling pain, this is how we help ourselves. And I don't tell people anything that they have to believe. I tell them, don't believe anything I tell you either. Question everything, test everything to see if it's true. And what I'm telling people to test, I'm just like, if you give yourself as little as 5 minutes a day, you can feel so connected to yourself and your life can change in a beautiful direction. And by change, I mean, you can feel better. That's like the baseline. I keep, what I tell people is like your spiritual practice, if you just make it really simple, this is about me feeling good. Because I tell people, I don't do it because I'm holy. I do it because I'm the most stressed out motherfucker I know.
Yeah.
And if I am not connected to myself, to source, to love, I'm going to be a bitch. And I say that in like, you know, the exact thing, I'm mean. I'm kind of mean to people. And so like, but when I am connected, like, you know, I can cry about how beautiful and wonderful I feel because I'm connected to that source. It's like, you know, you can strip all the esotericism out of it. You don't have to believe in quote unquote God to be a spiritual person. Again, it's like, I don't care what you call it. You just, I want you to be open to the possibility that maybe there is great love for you here. That's my favorite line, is there is great love for you here. And what I love about the work, like, I've worked with everyone from like pastors to therapists and chaplains, and then everyday people who are just like trying to like figure out how to create a spiritual life on purpose. And what I love is like a few highlights are like people getting rid of the idea of being afraid of hell. Like, it's like, I don't believe in hell, but I'm sure scared I'm going there. I'm dead ass. It's just like,
people, that's real.
Like, and it's like, like we all laugh at it, but also it's just like, when I really think about it, I'm afraid of separation from God, even now. It's like, what would it be like to...
Valid, you know, like,
I
feel like this is the center of all creation in my being and I don't want to be separated.
And it's like, like when you realize that heaven is the realization that you never left, grace, you like, you've always been, it's just that our awareness to love's presence gets mucked up by everything. And so like, you know, being able to see people like move from a place of like feeling very cut off, feeling like I cannot, God is unsafe. Spirituality is not for me anymore, to learning how to connect with their heart again. And learning and like being able to say like, even on my worst days, I'm worthy of love and feeling good. And even on my best days, I'm not any more holy. I'm just more connected. People realizing that so much of their experience is in their control and they have so much more power than they know. And it's like, what would it be like for you to connect with love every single day? And to see that, to like, you know, to see like queer people who have been burned by religion reclaim a spirituality for themselves, is incredible. To like really like people like, the way I put it is just amazing. Like, oh, you finally met the Christ because you looked in the mirror, bitch.
Come on, man.
And you loved what you saw. Congratulations, this is salvation,
dude.
And it's so much more simple than we have been led to believe. And I'm just so very passionate about individuals, you know, individuals finding this out for themselves, because like, imagine what we could do if all of us were no longer shit talking ourselves. We're no longer trying to acquiesce to like a white version of success or a patriarchal version of relationships or an institutional version of religion. I'm so passionate about people having a relationship with God. And it's right here,
man.
And that's like being able to like teach people how to do that. It's the greatest thing I get to do with my time. Greatest thing I've ever done. And like, I hope I do it for the rest of my life.
Man, I feel like I just had a session, man. This, I cannot thank you enough just for what you're putting in the world and for coming into our little feed here, man. Yeah. These like I said, these like just these oases of amazing shit happening, even in spaces that sound and feel terrible, that there are people out here really making the world better. Thank you so much for doing this pod and just for doing it. You know, who knew, right?
Yeah, thank you know, you was running around the world.
Yeah, you was running around the world trying to be a missionary. Little did you know, you know.
What's funny enough, right though, is like so many people have been prophesying, "Oh, you're going to be a pastor. You're setting the seeds for when you're going to be a pastor." And I was like, "I'm not going to be a pastor." I'm like, "Because in my head, I'm thinking because I'm gay and I'm eventually going to like
not allowed.
Not allowed to do that." And in some ways, I don't think they were wrong because
yes, you are. Yeah,
when I think about the role of what a pastor should be, you know, from what I'm doing, it's like I'm shepherding people through a specific season of their life to get them to get them going on their own path. Yeah. I work with people for a specific time in their life and I get them back on their path. That's incredible. My job. And I'm honored. Thank you for having me. Thank you for being here. I love your, I love your work. I think you're such a sensational artist. I can't wait to come to a dance party in LA over the summer.
Because oh my God, you
I
have
miss
to come.
Them every time. And I'm just like, I need to dance.
You going to get you a little Long Beach bull out here. You know,
listen, from your lips to goddess ears, I'll listen, take it.
Let me tell you, and they there. We got them. They there. Listen. We there for you. Yup.
I'll wear my shortest shorts and my.
That's why I was like, man, show them thighs. You know what I mean? Them piernas.
That's the thing. It's just like I know like what the best assets on me are, and
you got to know what you come with.
It's these two juicy lips and these two tree trunk thighs. Hallelujah. Come on now.
Fearfully and wonderfully made. So please give them your at mentions, the website, all that, so they could grab these books.
You can follow me across the internet at The Kevin Garcia. That's T-H-E Kevin Garcia. My website is thekevingarcia.com. You can get my new book called What Makes You Bloom, Cultivating a Practice for Connecting with Your Divine Self. Whether you know, fine books are sold. Please try to buy from like bookshop.org if you could. My first book is called Bad Theology Kills. Everything's available on my website. And if you're listening to this before March 5th, the Spiritual Renaissance cohort for spring 2024 starts March 5. It's going to be a badass time. I'm also opening, I have spots open for one-to-one coaching available. It's all on the website, amazing. Blah, blah, blah. And please be sure to, subscribe, share Hood Politics everywhere.
Please.
Please rate us in the Apple Podcast Store and on Spotify because it seriously helps with getting our ratings up. And you hear Prop say that every single week probably. And do you do it? No, because you're a jerk. But you're going to do it now because I'm guilting you because I'm a Puritan.
Let's go. On that note, we'll see y'all next week.
Woo!
All right, now don't you hit stop on this pod. You better listen to these credits. I need you to finish this thing so I can get the download numbers, okay? So don't stop it yet. But listen, this was recorded in East Los Boyle Heights by your boy Propaganda. Tap in with me at prophiphop.com. If you're into cold brew coffee, we got Terraform Cold Brew. You can go there.com and use promo code HOOD, get 20% off, get yourself some coffee. This was mixed, edited, and mastered by your boy Matt Osowski, killing the beat softly. Check out his website, mattosowski.com. I'm gonna spell it for you because I know. MattOsowski.com, mattosowski.com. He got more music and stuff like that on there, so go and check out the heat. Hood Politics is a member of Cool Zone Media, executive produced by Sophie Lichterman, part of the iHeartMedia Podcast Network. Your theme music and scoring is also by the one and only Matt Alsowski, still killing the beat softly. So listen, don't let nobody lie to you. If you understand urban living, you understand politics. These people is not smarter than you. We'll see y'all next week. Oh, Goose. Man.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.